Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to Wise Money. This is Leanne and Garwin Lenander inviting you to join us now as we answer some questions that we have gotten. Lately, a lot of things are changing. The markets are moving up and down like usual, sometimes very aggressively up or down. And other questions that have come in, not only about the markets, but also about life insurance, disability insurance, 401ks. So, Garwin, let's start with the questions you got in regarding life insurance and disability insurance.
Well, this is a question that comes up rather frequently, and the question is, and I'm going to change it a little bit to make it fit here, but this is a general question. I have enough assets. Do I need life insurance? Well, that answer really is yes, you do. Each person's situation is obviously totally different than the other person. But the thing about life insurance, there's an instant payment. And people who have lots of assets, and I'm talking about more than a couple bucks, most of the time do not have them liquid enough. So essentially, they're going to need some liquidity. And liquidity is hard to come by when your assets are all tied up in real estate or a business or property of some other description.
Or probate if you don't have your estate plan set up, right?
Or probate. Or even if you have wills and trusts, you find out that some relative sues and ties everything up for several years, there is a need for some life insurance. Now, it's very difficult to convince some people that I need some life insurance. But, yes, you should have some life insurance.
It's really for, like you said, liquidity purposes, because you need that money readily available to go ahead and pay possibly even some hospital bills, pay for the funeral if there's a funeral. And it depends upon what your situation is, but you have to look carefully at your assets, like you mentioned, and what kind of an estate plan you have, how big your assets are, what they're invested in. All of those things come into contact here with your estate plan, and it can be a very good situation or it can be a very bad situation.
It can be horrible. And the other point is that you are going to die, and there's going to be a need for a cleanup fund. Pure and simple, there's going to be a need for a cleanup fund, whether it's to pay for a funeral or last expenses of hospitalization.
The executor of your
estate. Executor
estate.
There's lots of places that this is going to be needed. And unless you're sitting with cash, and if you are, shame on you, because you haven't got it invested in something, you do need life insurance.
Now, you're not talking about the fact of having an emergency fund.
Most people don't.
Because that is an emergency fund when
that
it comes to
fund,
that
yes.
particular situation of death. But also, yes, you should have some liquid assets for an emergency fund.
Right.
But those assets can go very, very quickly if there's been hospitalizations, et cetera.
Right. Now,
okay.
The second part of the question, I'm young. I'm 22, 23, 24, 25. Do I need life insurance? Well, the answer to that really question is, if you were to die, is there somebody that's going to have to clean up after you? Or if you die, will it affect a family? Now, if you're single, you have no spouse, no children, probably not.
Plus, if you're single and you're working, most likely there will be some life insurance at the job that you are working
probably
at.
Probably is. But the other thing that I always tell people, look, if you buy life insurance when you're younger, if you get a guaranteed purchase option on the contract, the guaranteed purchase option guarantees, that's what it's for, that someday in the future you can buy more life insurance. no matter what your health is and no matter what your occupation is. So if you come down with a dread disease like multiple sclerosis, you can still buy more life insurance with your GPO. And that is very, very important because as you get a little older, unfortunately, bad things do happen.
Well, you can get ill.
Absolutely.
And if you're ill and something happens, then it's going to be harder to buy life insurance down the pike. The other thing is, if you are in an accident, younger people have more opportunities from having accidents than older people. Then you can run into the situation you may not be able to buy the insurance you want. So those are things you have to take into consideration. And if you have a job and they're offering life insurance, then certainly sign up for it.
Absolutely. Take advantage of it all. Now, the third question that I get, and then I'm going to turn them over to the question going over to Leanne, which is more important, disability insurance or life insurance? And statistically, and that's all we can go by, a young person has a 6 times greater chance, a 21-year-old starting out, 6 times greater chance of being disabled for 90 days or longer than dying prior to age 65. So what does that say? Now, how many young people have enough assets set aside to survive for 90 days of paying their bills and keeping things afloat? And so, yes, I think disability is more important than life insurance for the young person. Now, having said that, most young people, I don't really need it.
Well, there again, they may get it through work.
They may get it through work, and if they get a shot at it, they should take it. Take all you can get. But, yes, disability is very, very, very important. Okay, I'm done.
Since you were talking about young people, one of the questions that has been coming up a lot lately is the fact that kids are graduating from college, they're looking for a job, and then when they get a job, they want to know what they should do. And what they're referring to there is they sit down with the company, human resources, and they get different things that they have to look at very carefully and decide what they're going to take and what they're going to do. Number one, will they have life insurance and disability insurance available? Sometimes they can give you the option to buy more. But they get into things like, should I set up a 401k? They have offered me the 401k or a retirement program here at work. But my question is, I have student loans. And if I have student loans, how can I contribute to my 401k? Well, the one thing that they will ask is how much you want to contribute, and they will say, we will match you up to a certain percent. If you can sit down and look at your budget and look at what they're going to pay you, look at what they offer you, and they mention a 401k, and they will go ahead and put so much money in. If you put so much money in, take that into consideration, because if you can at least do the matching, that's important, because part of what you're putting in and what they are adding is really free money. So it gives you an opportunity to get started in the investment side. Now, you might not be able to do it the first year, but think about when they offer it, how often they offer it, and if you could go ahead and get a budget set up appropriately and be able to put some money in, think about trying to put some money in to have it matched.
Definitely try to at least take the match. If it's 3%, then put 3%. If it's 4%, if you can find it in your budget to put 4%, then do the 4%, because it's, like Leanne said, it's free money, and it's wonderful because it grows, and you didn't even contribute that part because of the free stuff that came
and
in.
It's difficult to work that into a budget.
Oh,
you might have
difficult.
To wait a year. Maybe you'll, they'll start it and say, okay, the type of program they have is we will put it in for so long, and then you can add to it later. However they do it, you have to check it out, and then you have to look at your budget.
Okay.
The next thing that they will ask if you decide to go into their retirement program was not only the contribution, but they'll give you a list of investments that you can go into. Now, so often, because they haven't really been working with these different types of investment, they don't know what they should go into. But if you're young enough, you should be in stock. Stock is for growth. It's to grow. It can give you income through dividends, but it's for growth long term. Whereas when you look at bonds, they are really for an income purpose because what they're doing is they give you income through through their interest. But that's more for the older person. The younger person should be aggressive because it's many years until retirement, and so they should look at different kinds of stocks.
So what you're saying is be very aggressive as a young person, Leanne.
Yeah, you should be very aggressive the younger you are. And the other thing to take into consideration, when you put money in, you're doing it mainly on a monthly basis. Sometimes they do it semi-monthly. It depends upon how they've got it set up. If you're putting a little bit in every month, you're going to catch the market when it goes up. You're going to catch the market when it goes down. If you catch the market when it goes down, you're buying more shares at a cheaper price. When it goes up, you're buying fewer shares, but then you're averaging out the cost of what you're putting your investment into, your money into. So be aggressive, and then when you're being aggressive and you're doing this dollar cost averaging or investment averaging as you go along every month and you just let it grow for you, it'll give you an opportunity to get a good leg up for the future, because a 401k retirement program, something like that, will really grow for you over time. One other question. How often should I rebalance my portfolio? In a case like that, depends upon how you are handling your portfolio. Are you putting money in monthly? Then you can see where your money is going, how aggressive and conservative. You may not look at really rebalancing as much. But if you have a lump sum sitting there and you've invested this money and then you're looking at it and you're saying, gee, I'm really getting heavy in this fund, or I'm really getting low, you know, a lower return on this fund, maybe you should look at it every quarter and just say, well, if I'm getting a lot of growth in this fund, but I'm not growing as fast in this one, you could rebalance. But for the average individual, they say at least do it yearly. So review it, look at it quarterly, look at yearly, and you can decide how often you want to rebalance. If you rebalance too much, it gets too confusing. So just go ahead, look at your portfolio, but on a yearly basis, be sure you rebalance.
I've got a question which really affects both of us. Should I have an annuity in my portfolio? So this is a question that I get because of I do annuities, and Leanne gets because she likes annuities for a purpose. So I'm going to let you answer that, Leanne. We only have a little over a minute left. Should people look at annuities in their portfolio?
They can when it comes to how old they are, not a young person.
That's very, very important. This is not for the 20-year-old or the 25 or the 30 or the 40-year-old. Now, having said that, I've done a few with that younger age, but that's really designed for the 50, 60-year-olds. And
for down the line, because they're looking at income coming from that too.
And they want to be very conservative. They don't want to have any risk to their money. So that's very important. Remember, annuities are a very, very conservative investment. They are not aggressive at all. We've almost run out of time, Leanne. We'd like to thank people for being with us this morning on the Wise Money Show. If you have questions or comments, call us at 651-436-3997.
Or 651-365-5000.
And we'd love to have comments and questions. They were the best part. So if you've got any questions, give us a call. Or you can email our show here at the radio station. Thank you for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wise Money Show.
Experience counts now more than ever. When it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 651-436-3997. That's 651-436-3997. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.